The idea that free speech must be rationed to protect Americans' First Amendment rights could only come from left-wingers on Capitol Hill. In this very important book, Brad O'Leary shows beyond a doubt that censorship is on the march and American liberty hangs in the balance. Well, we have talked on Understanding the Times the last several months about our diminishing freedoms. The fight has only just begun. And the battle to retain free speech in this country is one of the most concerning. And so I want to welcome for the first time to Understanding the Times, Brad O'Leary. Brad, thanks for joining me today.
No, thank you for having me on. And, you know, this isn't the bad news. This is the good news, because there are enough Christians and there are enough Americans who don't want this to happen.
Exactly.
That it can be stopped.
And that's where we need to head here eventually. Let me just open. Well, first of all, there's a quote that you have here by William Douglas, which is so important. U.S. Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas said, "Apparent restriction on free thought and free speech is the most dangerous of all subversions. It is the one un-American act that could most easily defeat us." Brad, today many in Congress want to punish the truth tellers, and particularly conservative radio, talk radio, Christian radio. And, you know, they insult us by suggesting that we are not smart enough to figure out a lot of things, so they must spoon feed us. And many listeners are confused, and I think the bottom line is that the liberal left wants to squelch our First Amendment rights of free speech. Brad, how is this possible? This has been the bedrock of America for a couple of centuries plus. How can one administration come in and undo this?
Well, when talk radio got its freedom in 88, it wasn't done by Congress. It was done by the president, who had his FCC commissioner, who was part of the bureaucracy, lift the limitations on talk radio. And what we have here is a president who set up a bureaucracy who can put those limitations back. And that's what they're attempting to do. They don't use the word fairness doctrine anymore,
right,
because people understand that's a catchword for censorship. And instead, they talk about diversity and localism.
Yep.
And what they're about, with the administration's approval, is to try to bring diversity to both the voices on talk radio and to the ownership of all these businesses have been put together to start radio stations. And, you know, I'll leave it to you to figure out what diversity is.
Yeah.
If they claim that all these radio stations are owned by Christian Caucasian men, what's diversity? Diversity is to take ownership away from these people and have other groups that aren't Christian, aren't Caucasian, and aren't men own the stations.
Well, conservative talk radio, actually, as you just stated, I believe it was Rush Limbaugh came on the scene in 1988, and you know, sort of the rest is history. Christian radio came on the scene probably, I think, back in the 1940s. And it may have even been earlier than that. So today, in secular conservative talk, there are some 2,000 voices of freedom on the airwaves. And the left tries the same. I mean, with this networks like Air America, and it's a total flop. I mean, there should be a message here, too.
You know, the message, you know, when I wrote this book, Shut Up America, it was about both talk radio, the Internet, and personal talk, which is all under attack. And I wrote this book hopefully to appeal to a lot of young people, too, because there's, you know, they especially just don't understand how dangerous things are. Christian radio came along in the 40s, and at that point in time, we lived in a Christian country.
Mm-hmm.
The president announced in Turkey, when he made a speech before a group of Muslims, that America is no longer a Christian country. And I think there's a lesson in that, because in Europe today, in Great Britain, and even in Australia and Canada, they passed hate speech, which means teaching the Bible, certain sections of the Bible, is not acceptable in those countries anymore. And in Great Britain, if a minister, Christian minister, were to pass out Bibles in neighborhoods that were predominantly Muslim, he's committing a hate crime. So never in our lifetime,
right,
until today, have we found Christianity under attack.
Well, you know, we aren't allowed, or at least they would not, they kind of like us not to be a counterbalance. But, I mean, you know, let's be honest. The left has. I mean, I could go on here forever. ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, CNN, MSNBC, all the hard left news papers
and all
and
the newspapers.
Magazines that are out there. And so when a challenging voice comes along, be it a Dennis Prager, a Michael Medved, Rush Limbaugh, Mike Gallagher, Sean Hannity, Janet Paschal, Albert Mohler, even Jan Markell or Brandon House. Of course, see, we're right-wing extremists right now, but we have to shut up. But all these other outfits that I just listed, they're not under any scrutiny.
No, they're not under the bureaucracy. They're not under any bills that are being proposed, with the exception probably of John Kerry's bill to bail out newspapers. And,
yes.
If that were to happen, you'd have an oxymoron. You'd have the government owning free press and deciding who was going to be the head of publications and what it was going to print.
All right, Brad. So it's called the Fairness Doctrine, but it really isn't called the Fairness Doctrine, and it's really censorship. Okay, so then what are the buzzwords that people are? You already said a couple of them. You said localism. What else should people be listening for when the government starts talking about what you and I are discussing today?
Well, you have to watch what the bureaucrats are doing, in particular the Federal Communications Commission. It'll get a new chairman in June, and he's totally committed to censoring both talk and Christian radio. And he'll get away with it because he has the votes on the FCC to do exactly what he wants to do. The only thing that stops him is there are 50 million listeners to talk radio, and if they wake up to the fact that their freedom to listen to what they want to listen to is being taken from them, you can stop what's being done.
Our founding fathers gave people all sorts of rights, starting with free speech in the Bill of Rights. And maybe it's not coincidental that nations that are run by dictators and despots do not have a free speech, do not have free speech at all. And America has actually come to this. It's very hard. Of course, it hasn't really happened yet, and I think people are wondering, is there a timeline on some of this? And we also need to get into, but we have almost a full hour, we also need to get into the regulation of the Internet, and you write about that as well. You've written a wonderful article here on WorldNet Daily that I'll get to eventually. So do you, in your mind, and the movers and shakers that are going on behind the scenes, do you think they have a timetable for this?
Yes, as quickly as they can get it done, but some of the rules that are in place are going to stop them. Your radio station gets approval right now for its license every 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, one of the first things they'll do in June is to move up that licensing period from 8 years to 2 years or 3 years. The purpose is to have the government in your face constantly and have you constantly working on your renewal application, and then to turn the, you know, this localism program that they put into effect.
Yeah.
They selected a number of people to be on this localism and diversity committee. No one knows how they were selected, and I can assure you at the hearing that it was held Thursday, I doubt if there was a single person in that room who supported an alternate choice other than the one that is the president of our country right now. So it's a committee that is stacked against conservatives and against Christians, and what they're doing is making all radio stations set up localism committees made up of activists in your community who can listen to your radio station and then report to the FCC if you say anything that upsets anyone or any of your guests do. It's the same thing that was set up in the Soviet Union.
All right. Well, you've talked about localism. You've talked about some other terms here. What about challenging the license renewals of certain networks?
Yes, they plan on doing that because there's not, in their view, diversity in ownership, mm-hmm. which means more women, more blacks, more Hispanics, more Asian Americans, and probably more atheists because
right.
they.
Mm-hmm.
There is complaint that the atheist voices and the Muslim voices are not represented on radio.
The thing is, that's so frustrating. I think that what's so troubling is this monopoly of the left. The monopoly, of course, and I already listed them, ABC, CBS, I don't have to go over those again. The monopoly always tends to cover up the truth. And that's what's so frustrating. And so then along comes the alternative media, and I listed some of those hosts, and that would include Fox News to a lesser degree, but still it would include Fox. It would include, of course, the Internet and talk radio. So along comes the alternate media who tells the truth. So it's very frustrating when we realize that what they want to stay in place, of course, would be the media that covers up the truth. And that's why I think in the media is often called the fourth estate. I mean, the media shapes everything that's going on.
Well, their theory is that democracy is hurt by too much communications.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just another word for taking the alternate media with it isn't mainstream and try to control it. Including, as you mentioned before, the Internet. There's been a bill introduced in the Senate, one in the House, that would do different things to the Internet, that would punish those people who use it, quote, maliciously. With what do you mean by maliciously? Well, that will be left up to an Internet czar appointed by the president who has the authority to, under the direction of the president, to monitor and control the Internet in this country. And that includes your emails.
Yes.
So all of those people sending you emails who love the Internet, they want to control you. And it also controls that in a time of an emergency, and they don't state what the emergency is, it could be a tea party, too many tea parties.
Tonight, yeah.
They want to take total control of the Internet.
Brad, there's a number of people in the broadcast industry, and I'm talking to them all the time. And they are now at the point, for various reasons, sometimes monetary reasons, but not exclusively by any means, thinking about broadcasting only on the Internet. And I will tell you, I am one of those ministries that's thinking about that. And for those of you who are not on the Internet, I can't explain why this in this brief time, why that would be a very good option for us to do. However, in reading your book and in talking to you briefly here, that probably isn't going to work either, is it?
Well, not if the current Congress or the FCC. The FCC has already claimed that they should control the Internet and they should set the rules for the use of the Internet. Anything from having you wait 24 hours before anything you write on the Internet is sent, so you can reconsider whether or not you were too harsh in what you wrote to send to a friend, family member, or a stranger, for organizations running what's called an elevator on the side of their site, so or a walking sidewalk, where you're constantly told when you're on the site of, let's say, the National Rifle Association, of all those organizations, and there's links to them, who disagree with the National Rifle Association, so that you're given access to multiple opinions. It doesn't matter that organization and people who go to it might be in the millions, and the sites you're sent to might be in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those sites would have to have a corresponding elevator or electronic sidewalk on their site. But with only hundreds going to it, who cares?
The FCC chairman back during Ronald Reagan's days could see that this fairness doctrine, that's what it was called back then, back in the 80s and before the 80s, it was called the fairness doctrine. The FCC chairman could see very clearly that it was unconstitutional, and apparently the high courts were making efforts to repeal it as well. Is there any chance at all that, say, the Supreme Court, let's just say this is, we don't know this yet, but let's just say this is initiated, officially put into practice, starting September 1st, I just picked a date out of the air, could it then be taken to the Supreme Court and challenged and reversed?
It could be taken to the Supreme Court. There's no... The only time the Supreme Court has guaranteed free speech is when they've done it in the Playboy case and guaranteed pornography as free speech.
Okay.
There have been no instances where the court has guaranteed Christianity or conservative voice as free speech. And indeed, the court a couple years ago, and I write about this in the book, took a law that was passed by Congress that said organizations anywhere from the left, ACLU, to the right, National Rifle Association, and those in between, like the Boy Scouts or American Legion or churches, corporations, unions, could not say anything negative about members of Congress 60 days before an election. And the court ruled that that law passed by Congress was constitutional, and today it is a federal felony for organizations to say anything about incumbent congressmen and senators 60 days before an election. So we have already lost free speech during the courts, through the Supreme Court, and how the court would vote on this would depend on who's serving on the court at the time.
Yes. You write, you say this, quote, indeed censorship proponents have never had a riper environment in Congress and the White House to resurrect the fairness doctrine and bury free speech than they have today. What was once a threat may soon become a reality. What can you tell us about the organization that would push this through, and that would be the Federal Communication Commission, and who is the head of it? And, well, I'll stop there. We'd like that kind of information to start with. Well, what is the FCC? I happen to know because I do radio, but what kind of powers do they have? Who's behind it? And I believe Congress doesn't even have to vote on this issue.
No, it does not.
Yeah, so help us understand the FCC.
Well, the FCC is a bureaucracy that controls communications in the United States, which means all radio licenses that are granted to radio stations are granted by the FCC. As I said, right now it's every 8 years. They're going to try and change that to every 2 or 3 years. And then the five commissioners, 2 Republican, 2 Democrat, and the chairman, who is appointed by the president, so in this instance he'll be a Democrat, is one of the president's close, the chairman he's appointing, Jules, I'm going to say this last name wrong, Genabowski, you can go to any of the sites we have and you'll get it correctly. He's a close friend of the president, went to school with him, went to college with him, is one of those radicals that the president sought out when he was in college, or I assume he is, because as we know from the president's books, he indicated that when he went to college, he sought out the most radical people so he could learn from them about what their particular thoughts were on American government. But he will have total control. The two Democrats have already begun hearings to hold the American public into these diversity, or set up guidelines that would hold stations to these diversity and localism rules. They also complained that because the internet is part of communications allowed in the United States, then the FCC should control the internet and begin to set rules for its use.
All right. I want to talk to you a little bit more, too, about Christian radio, because obviously Christian radio troubles the left because we oppose a lot of the things they embrace, from same-sex marriage to abortion to evolution, the whole liberal secular movement. And I have been reading separately not only your book but also some other articles that religious broadcasters are very, very prime targets, including even a network that I happen to air on frequently, four outlets. Brad, I think we have a couple of emails that are directed to you, if you would be so kind, and are you with me?
Sure.
Heidi, you had one. You were just going to go ahead.
Yes. Gary, one gentleman wrote in, Gary Horn from Maplewood, Minnesota, and this is such a practical question. You mentioned earlier about, if enough people rise up, we can stop this from happening. And Gary wants to know, what are some of the ways we can do this?
Well, number one, you've got to seek out your senators and your congressmen when you have an opportunity to speak to them, either at a town meeting or sending them letters or emails telling them what you think. You also have got to broaden that from just letting them know what you think to let the five members of the FCC know what you think. You can find out who they are on End of Free Speech, and also you can register with us, and we'll send them emails for free. You don't have to buy the book in order for us to send you emails. And, of course, I would say, buy the book. And my grandkids who vote have told me it's a fun read, which is one of the things I want to do, but you can buy the book and educate other people. This isn't a battle that anyone's going to win unless we can educate people and get them on board.
Right, but taking that a step further, do we demonstrate in the street? I mean, I'm all for sending emails and faxes and all these things, whether they're effective or not. We may never know. But beyond that, and talking to our own representatives in Washington, I go back, Brad, it was probably 2 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, when there were massive demonstrations in the streets over illegal immigration, and I think it actually made a difference. Is that something people can think about doing?
Well, yes, they could, but I don't think that a light has been lit on this issue yet. People are trying to see that all of this happens in the dark of night, mm-hmm. so that the public won't be aware they're losing their free speech. It's not something that, like the Tea Parties, and if I can for a minute, the Tea Parties are a great manifestation of people's free speech and of their voice. And the Tea Parties are not going to go away. And I think once the people who are putting on the Tea Parties get aware of the fact that, the two sources of information on the Tea Parties were talk radio and the internet.
Right.
And those two sources, are under attack, and the goal is to take them away, so that people cannot mobilize, cannot gather together. And, one of the sad things about the Tea Party is that print media and national television ignored them as if they didn't exist. It was talk radio and the internet that got the word out. In a recent poll run last weekend by Zogby International, so showed that 57% of the American public supported the message of those tea parties. So the only way they could support the message is that they knew what the message was, and that got out on talk radio and on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once we find out that everything that every way we have of communicating are under attack, and that the Homeland Security made it clear the other day when they said to 850,000, spent millions to send this package to 850,000 police officers, telling them to watch out for people that protested taxes, watch out for people that protest immigration, watch out for veterans, watch out for people that buy guns or buy ammunition, because those are really dangerous people.
Yeah, we're more dangerous than the Taliban. I'm more dangerous than the Taliban because I'm on that list, too, under many categories. I also like to study the end times. Those people are extremely important, extremely scary, according to the Department of Homeland Security. Let me make reference here to an article that Rowan Scarborough wrote in Human Events. I'm sure you're aware of this. Our listeners may not be. Democrat plans to revive government censorship of radio, television airways. Try to remember, Gary, Brad, rather, excuse me. Try to remember, Brad. We need to talk about the TV as well. Let's start over. Democrat plans to revive government censorship of the radio and TV airways will strike hardest at religious broadcasters who stand in the way of a liberal social revolution. Christian broadcasters tell Human Events they will be targeted. Once President Obama's appointees gain control of the Federal Communications Commission, the left wing will immediately start filing complaints, and it will, in short order, shut Christian broadcasting down, says Warren Kelly, president of Point of View, the first Christian talk show to go on air via satellite 37 years ago. I think it will so limit what they say that, in essence, they will cease to be Christian broadcasters. And then just one more comment here from this same article. Some congressional Democrats have talked of specifically targeting Salem Communications and its 95 radio stations by challenging its license renewals. So, again, that's another tactic. In all, there are over 2,000 Christian radio stations in America and 100 TV stations. I think they mean Christian TV stations.
Right.
And then Janet Parshall, a quote from Salem's national talk show host Janet Parshall, she says, "What we want to do is tell the message of Jesus. What the Fairness Doctrine would have us do is give equal time to Buddha, Allah, and Scientologist L. Ron Hubbard." How can you shed some more light on the potential, really serious attack on Christian radio?
Well, he leaves out atheists. It's not just Buddhists, Muslims, Scientologists, but it's atheists as well that both the president and the FCC commissioner says has to have a voice in American communication society. And yes, it is their goal to reduce the power of Christian radio. And, you know, this hate crime bill that's wending its way through Congress is certainly part of the attempt to do that, to make it impossible for Christian ministers to preach certain things that are in the New Testament or the Old Testament being against the diversity that we find or that the administration finds so comforting. So the fact that when we pass these laws, it will be very difficult for certain passages of the New Testament or the Old Testament to be used on Christian radio, and in fact they will make it a felony, so that if a man of the cloth or his guest says something that is disturbing to atheists, Muslims, or people with alternative lifestyles.
Let me make another comment here based on what I read in, let's see here, Human Events. Well, first let me make a comment, Brad, because when voters in California last November approved Proposition 8, which defines marriage as between a man and a woman, it was religious broadcasters that may have made the difference in that battle. So there again, we've done something that the left doesn't appreciate. That's going to add fuel. That adds fuel to this fire. Now, I picked up in our comment here, the process would work this way. I believe this is from the Human Events. The process would work this way. A Muslim group such as Council on American Islamic Relations or a homosexual rights group would file a complaint with the FCC because, for example, and I'll just throw this in, understanding the Times Radio did not present enough of a contrasting view to whatever the issue may be. I deal with Islam on this program, radical Islam, a great deal. So I don't present the contrasting view. I present a pro-Bible, pro-Christian worldview on this program. So, I mean, I'm really in the sights of the shotgun, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And point of view is, of course, that's been around for 37 years. They are on probably hundreds of radio stations. So, anyway, the religious broadcasters, again, folks, I think that's what the point that's being made here. Religious broadcasters are really prime time. Okay, Heidi, you go ahead. I think that's from Seattle.
It is. Darlene in Seattle says, will the FCC target ham radio, CB radio usage? And then in a different question, how can they control something like Twitter or personal email?
Well, remember, there are 36 countries, including communist China, that control the Internet, Twitter, and personal email.
What do they do exactly?
The technology is there to do it.
Okay, so you don't know, but you know the technology is there.
Yeah, I can't tell you what the technology is. I can only tell you that in 36 other countries, they've spent money to create the technology or to buy the technology that allows them to control everything their citizens attempt to use to communicate.
Do you have another?
No.
Okay, all right.
Well, and what, might I just say one thing?
Go ahead, Brett.
There are people who say, well, if I'm complaining about what the FCC do, I'm racist because there needs to be more opportunities for blacks in America on radio stations. What happened in California, Christians might easily take credit for it, but the greatest credit goes to black Christians, who through radio stations and through the pulpit said no, they weren't going to support this liberal thought and voted against it. I mean, the margins of victories in white Christian neighborhoods were exactly what you might expect them to be at the ballot box, but the margins of victory for this win was extraordinarily in black neighborhoods and black ballot boxes. And their word came from Christian ministers, black Christian ministers.
And, you know, the sad thing and the obvious point here, I'm not raising anything that's not pretty obvious, because you write about it on April 29th. You have an article in WorldNet Daily, Americans to Feds, Hands Off Our News. And you just plain say polls show that voters reject government intrusion into newspapers, radio, internet, and that apparently was a Zogby poll. And by large percentage points, people feel violated here, and yet it is likely going to happen anyway. That is government control over things that will squelch free speech.
Mm-hmm.
Again, some 50 million talk radio listeners. Hard to say how many millions listen to Christian radio, and of course there'd be a crossover too. Brad, we're down to literally seconds. If you want to close with a thought or two, please do so in about 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, yes. You know, the Lord doesn't promise us an easy life, and he constantly puts tests in front of us. And if we want to keep our freedom, the first freedom we have to keep is freedom of speech. If we lose that, then perhaps we don't deserve all the other freedoms we have.